In Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, we're gonna start down in verse number 7. We kind of finished at verse 6 last week, so we'll start at verse number 7. So Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, verse number 7. The Bible says, "For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities, but fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart." Verse 1 of chapter 6. "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Moreover, he hath not seen the sun, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. Yea, though he live 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place. All the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. That which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. Seeing there be many things that increase vanity, what is man the better? For who knoweth what is good for man in this life, all the days of his vain life which he spendeth as a shadow? For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun?" Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this chance of another day of life. Thank you for the sun that came up again this morning, just like it did yesterday, and just like it will tomorrow. And I thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your compassions and your mercies that are new every morning. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, and Lord, I was convicted by this, and Lord, I know I personally need help in this area of my life. And Lord, I pray that I would be better at being content and happy with what I have. And God, I pray that we would enjoy the life that you've given us and use it for you and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the Bible talks about life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. It's hard to believe that we're already in May of 2019. And it just seems like just a few days ago, we had the first day of the year. And as we look forward to the year, we think of all the things that's coming, all the things that we're going to be doing. And we're already in May, month five, one more month, and we're halfway through 2019. And that's hard to believe, okay? And we get so many times we get wrapped up in our lives, and many times we don't think about the things that really matter, I guess. And Solomon, and we've talked about this in before, I think one of the things you really have to understand about Ecclesiastes is this is very much man's reasoning or things that make sense to man, okay? And that's why at the end of chapter 6, in the part of chapter 6 there, it's very much why do we do what we do, okay? And why are we here if everything that we have just goes to the next, you know, to a stranger and things like that. But this morning I want to pick out a few things that Solomon said here as a wise man, and we're going to look at these. And most of it is, I think we could summarize it all under one category, and that would be contentment. And because I know personally, sometimes it's very hard for me to be content. Now, there is, and we'll talk about this in a moment, there is a difference between contentment and apathy, okay? Because I think a lot of people, they say, well, I'm just trying to be content, and the truth of the matter is, they're just being, they have a lack of concern, I guess would be the right term, okay? They don't care. They just don't care, okay? And I think that God wants us to care about things, all right? God wants us to make, I don't think God ever intended for us to live on our welfare society that we have is very much, people are just content with getting a check in the mail. They're content with living in, I hate to say poverty, because it's not really poverty and compared to the world, but for the United States of America, they're living in poverty, and they're just content with that. They're content with repeating life cycles. Young people that come are content with doing the exact same things that their parents have done and their grandparents have done, and they're going to live the same life, okay? I think there is something that ought to drive us to be better, okay? Some people were just content at being the Christian that we are right now, okay? And for some people, that's, a pew bump. You know, they come and sit on a pew, all right? Well, I'm just content here. Well, that I don't think God wants us to be content with average, all right? I don't see that. And I'll almost show you some verses here. But on the other hand, when it comes to things of this life and the position that God has put us in, and I hope you understand, I hope I can make clear the balance here. There is a line. But we shouldn't always be looking on the other side. What can I have next? What can I get next? Because honestly, all that stuff is eventually, it's going to go to somebody else. And we accumulate all this stuff, and so we're going to look at some verses here in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and then throughout some other places that I want to help us. And I this is good for me about enjoying life, because I think so many people, they really don't. You know, I enjoy life. Okay, I really do. I'm pretty happy. It's not that you don't have trials that come. Every one of you are going to have bad things happen. Okay, but you don't live your life there, okay? And so I'm going to show you some things. So first of all, the first thing I notice is in chapter number 5, look at verse number 18. Chapter 5, look at verse number 18. Bible says, "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. Notice that next phrase. This is the gift of God. This is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his, what? Heart. Of his heart. The joy of his heart. When we talk about the gift of God, most people would think of, what is the gift of God? Salvation. Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the thing that most people think about. But you know, God gives us a lot of gifts. And one of the gifts that God has given us is the ability to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Is to enjoy, and this is the first thing I put down, is enjoy what you do. Enjoy what you do. You know, some people they go to, you know, they work to them is a bad thing. You know, I got to go to work today. You know, I wouldn't want to work. I would rather work a job that I don't get paid as much and enjoy what I'm doing than go make 4, 5, 6, 10 times more money and dread every day I go to work. I just would. Okay? Why? Because there is something that God gives you when you can work and you can do something and you can see the fruition of your work. There's something neat about seeing something come to pass. Honestly, I couldn't work in a factory. I just couldn't. Okay? Where you see the same part every day. Okay? I like to see things come to fruition. And you know, if you work in a factory and that's fine with, you know, you're fine with that, that's good. I mean, that's a gift of God if you're happy there. But God has, and I'm just using a personal illustration, God's put, you know, I like building stuff. I like seeing something go from a few pieces of metal into something that works and functions, or a pile of lumber into a barn. There is something very satisfactory about seeing the fruit of your hands, okay? There is something, there's farmers in here, whether it's livestock or crop farm, there is something satisfactory about seeing something that you took from the very smallest and have it grow and the fruit of your hands, okay? And it's a gift of God that you enjoy the things that you have. I don't think God for one instant doesn't want us to enjoy life. I think that's a wrong way to look at, well, God's just mean and he brings all these things into our life just so, you know, because he just likes to see us go through stuff. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form, all right? But I do believe that you need to enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy what you do. You know, if you're too busy and I told Preacher this, everybody was talking about mushroom hunting. This year, from what I've heard, has been a really good year for mushroom hunting, all right? I haven't been, okay? I haven't been. Now, I enjoy it, okay? I enjoy going mushroom hunting. I enjoy fishing. I enjoy hunting, okay? But when you get to the place in life when you're so busy that you really can't enjoy the things that, you know, that you like to do, Maybe you're too busy, all right? For me, though, on the other hand, I enjoy work. I enjoy just everything about it. I really do. If I had a hobby, that's probably what my hobby is, working, okay? Now, most people are like, man, that's weird. I do. I don't know what it is to not just be working on something. I've always got a project. I've always got something I'm building. If I'm not building something, I'm formulating how I'm going to build something. Okay, and I enjoy that. It's a hobby for me. On one hand, I understand. Well, I didn't get to go mushroom hunting because I was busy working, but I also very much enjoy that. Okay, but you know what? And I just want to be encouragement to you. You ought to enjoy life where you're at. Well, I can't get out and do the things I used to be able to do. Well, find other things that you can enjoy doing, all right? But enjoy what you do. Enjoy what you do. I think God wants us to live a joyful life in that regard. Secondly, enjoy what you have. So first of all, I believe God wants us to enjoy what we do. Secondly, enjoy what we have. Look at verse 19. We'll read it again, chapter 5, verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. All right? That's all of us, honestly. We live in the United States of America. That's all of us. Some may have more than others, but compared to most of the world, God has blessed us. Okay? Do you notice here that this wasn't things that necessarily this person had worked for? This was just God had given him riches and wealth. Now, I understand you work for everything, and we're going to see that later. But look at the second part of that. And hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Enjoy what you have, not what you don't have. Look down at chapter number 6. I want to show you this verse. I got thinking about this verse. And this is maybe actually the verse I kind of started with, as far as meditating on it. But chapter 6, look at verse number 9. It's an interesting verse. The Bible says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. What does that mean? I personally think what the Bible's saying here is it's better to have what you can see than to want what you can't see. All right? It's better to have what you can see than to want what you can't see. And what does that mean? You know, I have in my, you know, I go home and I have what I can see. And it's better to want what I don't have sitting at my house right now. Okay? You know, I think God wants us to be content. I think he wants us to enjoy what I have right now. Okay? Enjoy what I have. You know, the one thing the internet has done and technology has done, it's done a lot of things. I think technology has done more to destroy our country than probably anything, honestly. But one thing technology has done, it has opened up horizons of things that we don't have that honestly, without technology, we never would have even known existed. Okay? There's tools out there that I'm like, man, that is an awesome... That's an awesome attachment for a skid steer. How did they do that? But you know what? Then it's like, man, I could use one of those. I want one of those. All right? But if you didn't have something putting that into your mind, excuse me, you wouldn't know it existed. Okay? Gadgets, little things, you know, infomercials, as seen on TV things. You really don't need any of that stuff that you see on TV. It's not essential for survival. But you know what it's like? You know why they have somebody very bombastic doing those commercials? They're trying to sell you on something that you really honestly don't need. That's why they're doing that. But what is that? Now you see it and you want it. Okay? But it's better just to enjoy what you have. Proverbs says, and I didn't write the verse down, you know, it's better to... The Bible talks about the strange woman. And in the passage, I think it's Proverbs chapter 6. In the passage, it says, here it is. The Bible says, it's Proverbs chapter 5. Verse number 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? You know what the Bible's saying there? Be happy with who you've married. Okay? Be happy with them. Why would you go seeking something someplace else? Be happy with what God has given us. All right? Be happy with, you know, the home that you have. Be happy with the vehicles that you have. And enjoy what you have. Not always be looking for something that you don't have. That's discontentment. That's discontentment. Enjoy. So first of all, enjoy what you do. Enjoy what you have. Thirdly, enjoy the simple things of life. Enjoy the simple things of life. This can go along with other some of the others. But chapter number 5, look at verse number 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. And then it says this, the king himself is served by what? The field. The simple things. You know, back to the earth, all right? You know, there is something satisfying about planting a garden. And, you know, honestly, if you really crunch the numbers, you can't plant a garden and maintain a garden and everything for the price that you can honestly go out and buy canned vegetables. If you honestly crunch the numbers. But there's something else that comes that's not factored in with just number. Now, I do believe it's more healthy. I believe there are several other factors. But there are other things that come as, you know, I built a wood boiler and I heated my house this past winter with a wood boiler. When you really crunch the numbers, I can probably heat my house just as efficiently with propane as I can by the time I spent money on the building the wood boiler and cutting firewood and my time and everything. But there's something that also comes from doing that and being able to provide for yourself that you can't put a monetary value on, all right? And enjoy the simple things of life. And don't get attached to riches. You know, God's given a lot of us a lot of things. God's given me a lot of things. And I'm blessed by that. But I don't ever want to be attached to them. I want to enjoy the simple things. The Bible says, verse number 10, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Then verse number 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You know what that's saying? There's more, what I was just talking about a while ago. There's more to life than just having money and being able to just write a check for anything that you want to write a check for. All right? There is something to laboring and sleeping well. The Bible says, whether he have little or much, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. But a man that has a lot of riches, you know what he's always thinking about? His money. What he's always going to do. You know, if you don't have money to, you know, if you don't have money to spend, you don't really have to worry about it. I'm there a lot of times, all right? So it's just like, well, I can't buy that right now, so I'm not going to worry about it, all right? So enjoy the simple things. Go to Proverbs chapter number 23. Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to look at verse number 4, Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 4. The Bible says, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Now, I believe that the Bible teaches that riches come as a result of labor. That's a Bible principle. There's no denying that fact. If you don't work, you don't eat. Riches, you know, the hand of the diligent maketh rich, all right? But I don't think riches ought to be the goal of our work. Well, I got to work more so I can, I want, you know, more in my bank account, all right? I don't think that ought to be the goal, all right? Now, that it will come as a result of labor, but I think it needs to be almost a byproduct, not the end means, okay? But we're going to continue. Verse number 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. And that's very true. Very true. It's amazing how fast money can be spent if you have a lot of money to spend. All right? But it's also amazing how frugal a person can be when necessary. All right. People, most of you, if you're comfortable right now, what I would say a comfortable, you know, you're retired or close to that retirement age, you know, there was a time in your life when it wasn't that way. You opened the cupboard and there was next to nothing. Okay, it was peanut butter and jelly for a week, all right, or whatever. There were those times, okay? So I don't think God wants us to be attached to riches. Pastor Robert Ross, and I always think of this when I think of money, and I know people that are like this. I don't think God ever intended us to be a reservoir. You know, you've seen watersheds. We have watershed lakes around here, okay, because of the drainage things and watershed lakes. What is a watershed? It's basically a slowing down of the water. Okay, so you've got a lot of ditches running into a big reservoir, and it's a catch basin for all this water, and then it lets it out slowly. All right, and I don't think God ever intended us to necessarily be, you know, this big Lake Michigan type of a thing, where God, you know, all this water comes in and nothing ever goes out. All right, now I understand there's some rivers and stuff. You know what I think God wants us to be? He wants us to be a channel. All right, God gives me something, but I always, yes, I take what I need to live and to, you know, to do what I need to do for the Lord, but then I always need to make sure that I ask this question: God, why did you give me this increase? Okay? You know, a lot of times the things that, well, I'm just, you know, we ran out of money. Well, I think a lot of times God gave me the money at some point. I just didn't spend it where he wanted me to. Now when I really needed it, I don't have it. Okay? And you know what? I think God, you know, there's times that God just gave us. I had a really good job at the beginning of this year. I built a barn for a guy here in Jasonville. And, you know, there's times, though, that we take up special offerings and different things like that, or things come up at church, or a person needs something. And you know what? I always want to be sensitive to, God, why did you give me this money? I don't need it for living. It's kind of an extra. Why did you give this to me? Okay? Because I'm afraid if I ever become a reservoir where I say, well, this is all just for me, I'm just going to hold it all right here. God said, okay, I'll find someone else that I can use as a channel to distribute. You know, God doesn't rain money down from heaven. I wish he did sometimes. but God doesn't. God does not rain money down from heaven. You know how God gets money and monetary and physical things to people is through his people passing it along. Okay, that's how God works. And I think we sometimes get too attached to riches. We'll look at just a couple verses here on contentment, since we're talking about contentment. Go to Philippians. Most of you know this verse. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11. Bible says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know, a lot of times we take that verse 13. That's the one we pull out a lot of times. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But I think God wants to be who we rely on, not only in our time of abundance. You know, everybody's, well, I just need something from God, and I know that through his power I can do it. But what about our time of abundance? So we need to be content. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. A few more verses here, and I'm going to give you the flip side of this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, and Pastor has said this before. I'm thankful that I'm an American. I'm thankful that God has blessed us. I'm thankful for the grace of God that God has allowed me to raise up in this culture of rural America, with Christian parents, with a hardworking family, hardworking heritage. I'm glad that God has given me that heritage. Okay, that's with the grace of God. That's a gift of God. I do think, though, that, you know, I don't think we live in this communal, all right, where I don't know how to explain this, but I think some people get this. Well, we just, you know, Christians, they don't need to have any money. Well, I don't think that that's a biblical statement, okay? I don't. Bible says they that will be rich. Remember what I said earlier about your labor and about how I don't think the end means ought to be your riches, but that comes as a byproduct, okay? And when I say riches, you know, it could be money, it could be, you know, assets, could be whatever. I don't think that should be the end means, but it should be a byproduct. Bible says they that will be, that means they're with a drive to be rich. The Bible says here, for the love of money, doesn't say money, says when you love it too much. That's the root of all evil. All right? And I believe that. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, and then I'm going to show you the flip side of this, because I do believe there needs to be a balance. You know, I helped a bus family out a couple weeks ago with their utility bill, okay? And you know, the only reason I say that, you know, is because I want to use this as an illustration. You know, if say, well, I'm just going to give all my money away to help other people. Well, you know, I still have to pay my utility bill. Does that make sense? I shouldn't. Well, I'm, you know, I can't go to the water office and say, well, you know, I just, you know, I paid the utility bill for six people this month, but you know, I don't have the money to pay my own. It doesn't work that way. There's like, sorry, you're delinquent in paying your bill, okay? So we need to be careful. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now I'm going to show you two more places in Proverbs chapter 10. I'm going to leave you with these two thoughts. Proverbs chapter 10. So enjoy what you do. I think everything in life, you ought to enjoy it. All right? And you say, well, I don't like doing it. Well, learn to enjoy it. enjoy what you do. Have fun with it. Enjoy what you have. Be content. Enjoy the simple things of life. Proverbs chapter 10, we're going to look at verse number 4 and 5. Bible says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Look down at verse number 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh what? Rich. And he addeth no sorrow with it. You know, I think there are blessings that God gives us. Okay? But you say, Brother Chad, I just have this desire for more and more and more. Well, I think that's dangerous. But you know what? I think on the other hand, if God's given you something, enjoy what you have. Don't always be, you know, grass is not greener on the other side. Okay? God's put you in a certain place. Enjoy the church you have. Enjoy the family that you have. Enjoy the job that you have. Enjoy the simple things of life. Enjoy the flowers. If you're too busy to stop and notice a flower or the beauty of a sunset, you're too busy. All right? Enjoy the simple things of life. And be a channel. Be a channel that God can use to convey things to other people. All right? Because I think as long as you keep conveying things, God keeps putting it through. And you, have you ever noticed that a little washout in a field starts as just a trickle, but as long as that washout doesn't stop, it can grow monstrous. Monstrous, okay? But it always starts with a trickle unless it's dammed up. And if it's dammed up, it stops it. All right? So be a channel that God can use. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, help me to be more content. Lord, sometimes it seems like my wanter goes out of control. And God, I want to be content. I want to be a channel that you can use to accomplish your will, to accomplish your plan. Thank you for your love. Thank you for these good folks here. Thank you for the sacrifices that many of these people have made over the years at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and the reason that we're still here today. And thank you for them. Pray that you bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.